Sometimes I'm glad to wear a shirt like this.
Av og til er jeg glad for å ha på meg en slik skjorte.
Because I can stick my pen in this pocket.
For da kan jeg ha pennen I lomma her.
But after watching this, I realize I don't need a shirt like this.
Men etter å ha sett filmen, så ser jeg at jeg trenger ikke en sånn skjorte.
I can stick my nose.
Jeg kan bare sette den I nasen.
But I don't think Judy would approve of that.
Jeg vet ikke hvor godt Judy ville like det.
Well, think about it. Think
men,
about this.
Men tenk over følgende.
These people you just saw here.
Disse folket her som dere akkurat så.
A year ago they knew nothing about the word of God.
For et år siden kunne de ingenting om Guds ord.
They had never heard about the Lord Jesus.
De hadde aldri hørt om Herren Jesus.
They probably had never met a white person.
Mest sannsynlig hadde de aldri møtt en hvit person.
And here they are sharing their testimonies with you.
Og her deler de vitnesbyrdene sine med dere.
About their salvation.
Om frelse.
And their salvation is not based on what they do, but what Christ did.
Og frelse der ikke basert på det de selv har gjort, men det Kristus gjorde.
To me it's absolutely thrilling to hear testimonies like that.
Og fridom er å være høyere slike vitnesbyrd.
Because here you have people that lived in heathen darkness.
For her hadde du folk som levde I et hedensk mørke.
Under Satan's domain for ages.
I Satans herredømme I lange tider.
And all of a sudden you can see the joy of the Lord on their faces.
Og plutselig kan du se se hans glede I ansiktet der.
It wasn't because all of a sudden they became rich physically.
Det ikke fordi at de plutselig hadde blitt rike økonomisk sett.
No, it's because they heard a message from this book.
Nei, for de hørte et budskap ifra denne boka.
And there were some people that were willing to hike over to those villages.
Og det var noen folk som var villige til å gå bort til eller reise til disse landsbyene.
And share the gospel with them.
Og dele evangeliet med dem.
They understood it. They believed.
De forstod det, de trodde.
And their lives were transformed.
Og livet deres ble forvandlet.
You notice that they were not dressed like we are.
Du legger merke til at de var ikke kledd slik som oss.
Because there's nothing to do with that.
For det ikke noe med det å gjøre.
No, they can have their pen in their nose if they want.
Nei, de kan ha penne I nasen om de vil.
It has nothing to do with it.
Det ingenting med saken å gjøre.
It's the fact that they were brought into a relationship with the Lord.
Det det faktum at de kom inn I et forhold med Herren.
And that potential is true for everybody.
Og det potensialet gjelder alle.
Whether you live in Papua in Indonesia.
Enten du bor I Papua I Indonesia.
Or in Norway.
Eller I Norge.
Or in the Faroe Islands.
Eller på Færøyene.
This book and its message can change people's lives.
Denne boka og budskap I den kan forvandle folk sine liv.
And we who were afar from him can be nigh him tonight.
Og som stod fjernt ifra henne kan komme nær til I kveld.
Not only knowing that our sins are forgiven.
Og ikke bare vite det at syndene var tilgitt.
But we can enjoy an intimate relationship with him.
Men vi kan glede oss over et nært forhold med han.
And these believers are now on way to reach some other areas.
Och dessa troende är nu på väg till nya områden för att nå nya.
Which brings me to my second subject tonight.
Och det är något som bringer mig till det andra oss ämne ikväll.
Because I suggest to you that if we're going to finish the task,
för en föreslår för dock att där som man ska kunna fullföra uppdraget.
It would require an intimate relationship with the Lord.
Så kräver det ett nära förhållande med han.
But it also requires an important partnership with the saints.
Men det kräver också ett nära samarbete med de troende.
And the next thing is going to be the need for us to have an intentional friendship with the people of this world.
Och det nästa ämne vill dreja sig om att ha ett bevisst förhållande eller ett vänskap med världen.
So let's tonight think about the relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Men ikväll ska vi se på förhållandet mellan bröder och syster I Kristus.
I would suggest to you that you and I do not choose our co-workers.
Du och jag, oss kan inte välja våra samarbetspartner.
Because all believers, all who are born again, are our co-workers.
Så alla som är omvänt och är kristna är våra medarbetare.
It's not our choice.
Det är inte vårt val.
Why do I say that?
Varför säger jag det?
Because God says that the work of missions was given to the church.
För Gud säger det att uppdraget med att utföra mission, det blev gett till menigheten.
And the church is all believers.
Och menigheten består av alla troende.
Notice I'm not saying where they go to church.
Jeg snakker ikke om hvor de gjeng på møte,
but rather that they are part of the church.
Men det at de en del av menigheten.
And as members of the Church of Jesus Christ,
og som medlemmer I Jesu Kristi menighet,
those that you saw there are your partners and my partners in the ministry.
Så de som du så på skjermen, mine og dine medarbeidere I tjeneste.
As I will come to later, there are levels of partnership.
Og skal se senere på at det forskjellige nivå av samarbeid.
But let's not forget that we are all partners in this work.
Men la oss ikke glemme at oss alle medarbeidere
and
I denne oppgaven.
And we desperately need one another in this work.
Og trenger hverandre I denne oppgaven.
We need to encourage one another.
Oss må oppmuntre hverandre.
We need to challenge one another.
Oss må utfordre hverandre.
We need to stand together against the enemy.
Oss må stå sammen mot fienden.
There was a time when Paul was traveling on a boat.
Paulus reiste en gang på et skip.
And there were many people with him.
Og det var mange med han der.
And there was bad weather.
Og det var dårlig vær.
And the ship ran on shore.
Og skipet gikk på grunn.
And the people had to swim to shore.
Og de som var ombord måtte svømme I land.
And this was on Malta.
Og dette var på Malta.
It's recorded for us in Acts chapter 28.
Det stendig I Apostelgjerningene 28, og skal ikke lese det.
But what happened there was this.
Men det som skjedde var følgende.
It says that there was rain and it was cold.
Det stendig der at det regnet, det var kaldt.
Kind of reminds me of Bergen, no.
Minner meg litt om Bergen, kanskje?
No, it doesn't. But it was raining, it was cold.
Nei, det ikke det, men det regnet, det var kaldt.
And that's where these guys now were.
Og det der de befant seg nå.
And the people of the island, they welcomed them in.
Og lokalbefolkningen på øyet der ønsker dem velkommen.
And they built a fire so that people could warm themselves around them.
Og bygde et bål der slik at de kunne varme seg på det.
And it says that Paul was helping with that fire by adding firewood to it.
Og det står at Paulus hjalp til med å hente ved og legge på bålet.
And as I read that story, it reminds me of my responsibility.
Og når jeg leser den fortellingen, så blir jeg påmint mitt ansvar.
Because we live in a cold world spiritually.
For oss bor I en kald verden åndelig sett.
We live in a place where people are not warm toward the things of Christ.
Oss bor på en plass der folk kalde I forhold til Kristus.
In fact, there's more opposition to it today than ever before.
Og I dag det mer motstand enn noen gang tidligere.
And in more places than you would ever expect.
Og på flere plasser enn du kanskje ville tro.
And we desperately need one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Oss trenger hverandre som brødre og søstre I Kristus.
We need to stoke that fire,
og små oppbildende flammene,
so we can warm one another, if you will.
Slik at oss kan varme hverandre.
But notice what happened as Paul was doing it.
Men legg merke til det som skjedde når Paulus gjorde det.
It said as he went over there to put some firewood.
Når han skulle ta noe ved.
A snake bit him.
Så var det en slange som beit ham.
And as the people were seeing that, they thought, this is a judgment from the gods.
Og når folk så det, så tenkte de at dette her en dom ifra gudene.
This prisoner, he was guilty and he's going to die.
Det var straff fra Guden og denne personen han var skyldig om å dø.
And Paul just shook the finger and the snake dropped in the fire.
Men Paulus ristet handen og slangen falt I ilden.
And Paul never died.
Og Paulus døde ikke.
But the thing that impresses me about this story is this.
Men det jeg legger merke til denne historien dette.
I can choose to either add to that firewood.
Jeg kan være en som bygger på bålet og legger ved på.
I can either be a contributor to the church or a distractor from it.
Jeg kan enten være en som bygger opp menigheten eller en som bare en distraksjon.
But I can guarantee you this.
Men jeg kan garantere følgende.
If you get serious about stoking the fire of the church.
At hvis du en som mener alvor I å bygge opp den brann og ilden I menigheten.
The devil will not leave you alone.
Så vil ikke fienden, djevelen, la deg få fred.
He will try to whatever he can to divide and disturb the church.
Han vil gjøre alt han kan for å splitte og forstøre forsamlingen.
In fact, someone has said this about the enemy.
En person sa følgende om fienden.
He said he wants to unite what God has divided.
Han ønsker å føye sammen det som Gud har skilt.
And he wants to divide. Did I say that? Divide what God has united, and unite what God has divided. The opposite. Did I say that right? He wants to divide what God has united.
Ja, han ønsker å skille det som Gud har forenet.
And unite what God has divided.
Og forene det som Gud har adskilt.
You see, when I was got saved.
Når jeg ble frelst.
I became a member of the body of Christ.
Så ble jeg en del av Kristi legeme.
I was separated in that sense from the world.
Och då blev jag adskilt från världen.
But ever since the devil was trying to push me back into the world system.
Men sedan skedde så är djävulen hela tiden försökt skubba mig tillbaka in I världens system.
That's exactly what he wants to do.
Och det är det han önskar göra.
You see, the Bible says we're not of this world.
För Bibeln säger att vi inte är av denna världen.
But we're still in the world.
Men vi är I den.
But the devil constantly wants to push us back into the world system.
Men djävulen försöker hela tiden att pressa oss tillbaka in I världens system.
But also when it comes to the church.
Men också när det gäller församlingar.
We were separated from the world. We are now one in Christ.
Oss blev adskilt från världen och är en I Kristus.
And the devil is constantly trying to divide the church.
Och djävulen vill hela tiden pröva att splitta menigheten.
He doesn't like the fact that we have a good warm relationship with one another.
Han likar inte det att vi har ett nära och varmt förhållande med varandra.
And I want to encourage us tonight to contribute to the church and not to be the dividers of it.
Och jag vill uppfordra dere här ikväll till att vara de som bygger upp församlingar, inte den som splittar.
Because God has given us all a task to do.
För Gud gett oss alla en uppgave att fullföra.
As members of the body of Christ.
Som lemmar på Kristi legeme.
This partnership has to do with relationships.
Och detta här samarbete har med förhåll, personliga förhåll.
I don't think this partnership requires friendship, but it does require rapport with one another.
Samarbete förutsätter inte vänskap, men det förutsätter det att oss kan stole på varandra.
It means that we need to respect one another.
Det betyder att oss må respektera varandra.
I believe it means that we need to pray for one another.
Det betyder att oss må be för varandra.
And it's a two-way street.
Och det är en tvåvägsgata.
I need to be able to contribute to the church.
Jag må kunna tillföra något till menigheten.
And to receive from the church as well.
Och motta något ifrån menigheten.
We need one another desperately.
Oss tränger varandra.
Let's look at this partnership that we have.
Låt oss se på det här samarbetet som vi har.
First of all, the foundation of it.
Låt oss se på grundlaget för det.
There's many verses that would remind us of this.
Det är många vers som minner oss på detta.
That the church was built on a solid foundation called Christ.
Att menigheten är byggd upp på en solid grundval, Kristus.
Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church."
Jesus sa att på denna klippa vill jag bygga min menighet.
Paul said, "I have laid the foundation."
Paulus sa att jag har lagt ett grundlag.
He wrote to the Ephesians and he says that they were built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus being the cornerstone.
Till Efesierna skrev han att de var byggda på en grundval vid apostlarna,
apostles and prophets,
och profeterna och hjörnestenen Kristus.
The whole thing points to the fact that we are built on a solid foundation.
Och det hela handlar om att vi är byggda upp på en solid grundval.
But all of us that's true for all of us together.
Och det gäller oss alla.
And the New Testament shows that the communal nature, if you will, of the church.
Det visar man tillvisa fellesskapet I menigheten.
It uses the words we, us, and like the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven.
Brukar ord som vi och oss och I Fader vår far.
It reminds us of the fact that we are family.
Och det minns på det att vi är en familj.
And we shouldn't be thinking about the church as us and them.
Och ska inte tänka på menigheten som oss och dig.
No, and if they are born again, they are us.
Visst, de är igenfödda, så är de en del av oss.
It shouldn't be the other way.
Det skulle inte vara på andra måten.
Again, I'm not talking about where you go to church.
Jag snackar inte om hur du går på möten.
I'm talking about the fact if we are born again.
Jag snackar om det faktum att visst, de är igenfödda.
We are members of the body of Christ.
Så är medlemmar I Kristi legeme.
We belong to one another.
Och oss hör till varandra.
And in that sense, we are partners one of another.
Och på den måten så är oss medarbetare.
As believers, I will suggest to you that we have two things in common.
Och som troende så är det två ting som fallas.
One is we participate in the same life.
Och det är det att oss deltar I samma livet.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 16.
Första Korinther
13. Read that for us.
Första Korinther
12:13. Ja. 1 Corinthians 12:13.
Ja. Första Korinther 12 vers 13. För med en ånd blev vi alla döpt till att vara ett legeme, enten vi är jöder eller grekare, trällar eller frie. Vi har alla fått en ånd att dricka.
Notice what he says.
Lägg märke till det han säger här.
As believers we were all of us baptized into the we became members of the body of Christ.
Som troende så blev oss alla döpt och blev lemmar på Kristi legeme.
That is Christ lives within us.
Kristus han bor I oss.
Peter talks about the fact that we are all partakers of a divine nature.
Peter snackar om att oss alla är med I en himmelsk eller gudomlig natur.
So when you meet another Christian,
när du möter en annan kristen,
keep in mind that the same life that he has, you have as a believer.
Så man tänker på det liv han har, det samma som du har som en troende.
He doesn't have a different Holy Spirit than you do.
Han har inte en annan helig ande än du har.
It's not a different Christ that lives in him than lives in you.
Det är en annan Kristus som bor i honom.
No, we participate in the same life as believers.
Så deltagare i det samma livet som troende.
And Paul, by the way, makes, I think, 30, over 30 references to the body of Christ.
Paulus han eller visar till att bruka illustration med Jesu legeme över 30 gånger.
It has to do with the horizontal relationship that's ours.
Och det är med det horisontala förhållandet som man säger.
That we as believers born again are members of this body.
Att oss som troende är lemmar på samma legeme.
That is our true identity.
Och det är vår sanna identitet.
Your identity is not the fact that you are a Norwegian believer.
Din identitet är inte det att du är en norsk kristen.
Or that I am a Faroese believer.
Eller att jag är en färöisk kristen.
Or those people you heard testimony from are tribal believers.
Eller de på vittnesbördet på videon är stammekristna.
That's not the issue.
Det är inte det handlar
om. The issue is not where we are from.
Det är inte var vi kommer ifrån.
But our true identity is that we are members of the body of Christ.
Men vår sanna identitet är att vi är en del av Kristi legeme.
If born again, we are part of the same life. We have the same life.
Christus är genfött, så är oss i det samma livet.
We share the same life, even though we don't share the same light on some doctrine.
Oss är, eller oss delar det samma livet, själv om vi inte har samma lyse i alla lärespörsmål.
Keep that in mind.
Tänk över det.
But the second one is this.
Och det andra är följande.
Two things in common.
Så två ting fälles.
We share the same life.
Oss deltagare i det samma livet.
But we submit to the same head.
Och oss också under och det samma huvudet.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23.
Ephesians 1. En 22 och 23. Allt la han under hans fötter och gav ham som hode över alla ting till menigheten, som är hans legeme, fyllt av ham som fyller allt i alla.
He is the head of the church.
Han är hode till menigheten.
We are the body of Christ. He is the head of the body.
Oss är Kristi legeme och han är hode för kroppen.
And so
legeme.
All believers have the same head, the same authority, the Lord Jesus.
Så alla kristna har det samma hode, den samma auktoritet över sig.
And if the first thing had to do with the horizontal relationship, this speaks of the vertical one.
Och hvis det första handlar om det horisontala förhållandet, så är detta här det vertikala förhållandet.
I'm saying those things to say this, that the biblical foundation is clear.
Och jag säger detta för att visa att det bibelska grundvalen är klar.
For an important partnership between us as brothers and sisters in Christ.
För att vi ska kunna ha ett viktigt samarbete som bröder och systrar i Kristus.
And let's think about the participation or the those who participate.
Nu ska vi se på dig som deltar i detta.
And I'm thinking about what I read somewhere.
Och jag tänker på något som jag läste en gång.
There was a guy, it's a guy by the name of Andrew Walls, who wrote about Christianity and missions in particular.
Det var en karl som hette Andrew Walls som skrev om kristendom.
He said this.
Och han sa följande.
The center of gravity of global Christianity has shifted from the north to the south and from the west to the east.
Att tyngdepunkten när det gällde den globala kristendomen flyttar sig från norr till söder och från väst till öst.
Because when we think about the participation, it's the global church we're talking about.
För när vi tänker på deltagelsen, detta som är en global menighet att snacka om.
70%, 75% of all believers today live in Africa, Asia and Latin America.
75% av alla troende idag bor i Afrika, Asia och Sydamerika.
That means that when you leave Europe or North America to go as a missionary.
Det betyder att när du förlater Europa eller Nordamerika för att resa ut som missionär.
It's a very good possibility you're going to have brothers and sisters in those regions.
Det är stor möjlighet för att du vill möta bröder och systrar i den regionen du
kommer. And you'll have a chance to partner with them in a ministry.
Och folk du kan ha som medarbetare i tjänsten.
And to us that's a thrill in NTM that we have a chance to do that.
Och detta är något som gläder oss över NTM att oss har slik möjlighet.
That video was an illustration of that.
Och videon här var en illustration på det.
We know the missionaries that went into that tribe.
Oss känner missionärerna som reste ut i den stammen.
That learned the language.
Och lärde språket.
And shared the gospel with the first group.
Och delte evangeliet med den första gruppen där.
And now that first group went out to another area.
Och den första gruppen reste ut till ett nytt
område. And the missionaries went with them. them.
Missionärerna var med dig.
There was a partnership already taking place.
Det var ett samarbete som allerede existerade.
And I believe we need to recognize that and be glad for that.
Och detta är något vi må vara upps på och glädjas över.
Because God did not want the task of missions to be accomplished just by a select group of believers from a select area of the world.
För Gud tänkte inte det slik att missionsuppdraget skulle bara utföras av en viss grupp från ett visst område.
No, all churches are to be involved.
Nej, det hela menigheten som ska vara involverad.
He wants all of us to be involved in that.
Han vill att oss alla ska vara med på detta.
Now let me say here that mission organizations are important.
Och jag vill säga att missionsorganisationerna där är viktiga.
And there are many of them.
Och det är många av dem.
And it's a privilege for like for Judy and me to have been part of one for many many years.
Och det är ett privilegium för Judy och jag att vara med i en slik i många år.
But we need to come back to the fact that it's the church that sends all missionaries.
Men oss måste komma tillbaka till det faktum att det är menigheten som sänder ut missionärer.
And we need to value the church of Jesus Christ around the world.
Och vi måste se värdien i Kristi menighet runt om i hela världen.
And my view of the church will affect my relationship to the believers in the church wherever they are.
Och min uppfattning av menigheten vill påverka hur jag ser på kristna runt om i världen.
It's just like in my own family.
På samma måte i familjen min.
My view on my family will impact my relationship to the members of my family.
Mitt syn på familjen, det påverkar hur jag ser på det.
And I want to encourage all of us as believers to value the Church of Jesus Christ.
Jag vill uppmuntra alla här till att sätta pris på Kristi menighet.
And when I say church, I'm talking about born again believers.
Då snackar jag om gjenfødte kristna.
And they all have a potential to have a part in this work.
Och de har alla möjligheter till att vara med i detta arbete.
And when you think about the Book of Acts, chapter 2, we see a church that did not have the things we have.
Och i Apostlarna 2 ser vi en menighet som inte hade det som oss har idag.
And yet it says about them they turned the world upside down.
Likväl stämde rummet att de snudde världen upp ner.
I would suggest to you that there are four different levels of partnership.
Och idag ser jag lust till att lägga fram fyra olika nivåer av samarbete.
I'm not going to elaborate on them.
Jag ska inte gå utfyllande in på det.
But just to help us realize that there are these levels of relationship we can have in partnership.
Men bara visa hur det är olika nivåer av samarbete vi kan ha.
Because when I say that all the church members in the world are our partners, the level of partnership will vary.
För när jag säger det att alla kristna i världen är våra medarbetare, så vill nivåer på samarbete variera.
The first thing is that we need to love and appreciate each other.
Och det första är det att oss må sätta pris på varandra och älska varandra.
I need to learn to love God's people regardless of where they live or where they go to church.
Och jag må lära det att jag må sätta pris på och älska andra kristna samma hur de samlas.
They may not come together where I go.
De samlas kanske inte där jag lika att gå.
But are they born again? God expects me to love them and appreciate them.
Men visst är jämfört så förväntar Gud att de ska älska dig och sätta pris på dig.
But the second level is this. Fellowship with each other.
Men det andra nivået är fällskap med varandra.
Because there are believers that I respect and love.
Där är kristna som jag respekterar och älskar.
But I would have a difficult time having a deep spiritual fellowship with them.
Jag vill ha vanskelig för att ha ett djupt andligt fellowship med dig.
Maybe because of their understanding of the scriptures and so on.
Kanske på grund av deras uppfattning av Guds ord.
There's another level which I call a cooperative program in a limited way.
Och det tredje nivået, det är att hemma ett samarbete i begränsat omfång och hjälp.
It could be in a physical project to build something in a country.
Kanske ett fysiskt projekt, bygga byggning.
Or in some other way.
Eller på en annan måte.
But the fourth one is a deep spiritual partnership.
Men det fjärde nivået, det är ett djupt och närt andligt fällskap.
For example, in NTM, when we send a missionary team into a tribe.
För exempel i NTM när vi sänder ett missionärteam ut till en folkgrupp.
We believe it's important that it's this kind of relationship that exists.
Så menas det att det är viktigt att det är ett slikt förhållande som existerar.
Absolutely, they should love one another and appreciate one another.
De måste självklart älska och sätta pris på varandra.
There should be good fellowship.
Det bör vara gott fällskap.
And projects, of course.
Och projekt, självklart.
However, when we talk about getting involved in discipling believers together,
men när vi ska i fällskap ge upplärning till nya kristna,
there's got to be that deeper level of partnership.
Som måste vara ett djupare samarbete.
But regardless, I believe God wants us to love God's people wherever they are.
Men uansett så tror jeg at Gud ønsker at vi skal elske Guds folk samme hvor de er.
There was a Bishop Eliot who said this.
Det var en biskop ved navn Eliot som sa følgende.
Keep the wall low and shake hands over the wall as often as you can.
Altså, dere skal holde murene lave og håndhilse over murene så ofte som dere kan.
In other words, when there are brothers and sisters in Christ where I may differ with them on some issues.
Der brødre og søstre som kanskje uenige på enkelte områder.
Instead of making it my mission to build a big wall between us and them.
I stedet for å se på det som min oppgave å bygge en stor mur mellom oss.
I should try to reach over that wall and shake hands as often as I can.
Så burde jeg heller rekke handa ut og håndhilse så ofte som jeg kan på det.
Because if they're born again, we're going to be together in heaven.
For hvis de gjenfødt, så kommer vi til å tilbringe evigheten i lag.
That doesn't mean we're going to necessarily work together in a church planting effort.
Det betyr ikke at vi nødvendigvis kommer til å samarbeide.
I need to love the brother and sister in Christ.
Men jeg bør elske den broren eller søstre I Kristus.
And pray for them.
Og be for dem.
But let me go to another thing.
Men jeg har lyst til å gå til noe annet.
Not just the global church is part of the partnership.
Det ikke bare den globale menighet som
There is another level, and that's what I call a sending supporting church.
Som en del av det samarbeidet. Det også den lokale sendemenigheten.
After the ascension, after the Lord Jesus went to glory,
at Kristus vendte tilbake til himmel,
the churches became the center from which church planting teams were sent out.
Så var det forsamlingene som ble de senteret som sendte ut menighetsplantingsteam.
If we took the time to read Acts chapter 13, the first few verses,
hvis vi tok tid til å lese det første verset I Apostelgjerningene 13,
we would find out that God called some men out of that particular congregation.
Så ville se det at Gud kalte visse menn ut fra den forsamlingen.
The church recognized that.
Dette var noe som forsamlingen så.
Lay hands on them, prayed for them.
Og de la hendene på det, velsignet deg.
And sent them out.
Og sendte deg ut.
And then in the next verse it says, and they being sent by the Holy Spirit.
Og I neste vers står det at de som var utsendt ved den hellige ånd.
I believe that's exactly what the Lord desires.
Og jeg tror det det han ønsker.
He desires for men and women to be sent out from congregations of believers.
Han ønsker at menn og kvinner skal bli utsendt fra forsamlinger av troende.
Because the Bible gives credit to the fact that the equipping for the ministry starts initially in the local church where the people are.
For Bibelen forteller oss det at utrustelsen til tjeneste det begynner I den lokale forsamlingen.
Ephesians chapter 4 says that God gave to the church.
Ephesians 4 står det at Gud ga til menigheten.
Among the other things, teachers to equip the minister, the saints for the ministry.
Ja, han ga det lærere for å utruste de hellige for tjenesten.
I will suggest to you that missions is rooted in the church.
Og jeg vil si det at misjon det rotfest og begrunnet I menigheter.
And now for us in NTM, we are very much convinced of that these days.
Og I NTM ser oss veldig overbevist om dette I dag.
We don't send out missionaries.
Og sender ikke ut misjonærer.
No, we'll try to serve the church by assisting those missionaries that go.
Nei, vi ønsker å tjene menigheter ved å være til hjelp for de som blir utsendt.
We count on churches to send.
Oss ser til menighetene for å sende ut.
The churches will pray.
At de vil be.
The churches will give.
At menigheter vil gi.
And we do not believe we do the ministry for the church, but as part of the church.
Men oss ser ikke på det at oss utfører arbeidet på vegne av menigheter, men I samarbeid med menigheter.
And I believe that's the way it should be.
Og jeg overbevist om at det slik det må være.
And I think we need to be passionate as believers about the church. And value it very, very highly.
Og som kristne så bør vi sette stor pris på forsamlingen.
And I want to tell you that there used to be a time when my passion was to see how big NTM could become.
Det var en tid I mitt liv der jeg ivret for å se hvor stor NTM kunne bli.
That's long gone.
Men det lenge siden nå.
I don't believe that's God's desire either.
Jeg tror ikke det som Guds ønske.
I believe I need to be passionate about the church embracing the task.
Jeg tror at jeg må ivre for at menigheten må få vision for denne oppgaven.
And if God leads some from Gotha and some from Eidsvoll or wherever to go out.
At hvis Gud leder det slik at noen ifra Gotthåp eller fra Eidsvoll vil gå ut.
Or some other bedehus or church to go out.
Eller fra bedehus at de vil gå ut.
And they choose to go out under the umbrella of NTM.
Og de velger å gå ut under NTM.
Then we exist there to assist you in that ministry.
Da eksisterer oss for å hjelpe forsamlingen I det arbeidet.
And have them then come back and report to you how the work went.
Og at de da kommer tilbake til si forsamling og rapporterer om arbeidet.
That's exactly what Paul did.
Og det det Paulus gjorde.
In Acts 14, he went back to the church and report what God had done through them.
I apostelgjerningene 14 så ser oss at han reiser tilbake til forsamlingen for å fortelle om hva Gud hadde gjort gjennom dem.
So I suggest to you that the participants in missions are the global church.
Så jeg vil deltagerne I misjon den globale menighet.
But it's also the sending church and the supporting church.
Men det også sendemenigheter.
But it's also the newly planted church out there, whatever it is.
Också den nyplanta menigheten där ute.
I believe God wants them, those small churches, to have a world vision.
För jag tror att Gud önskar att dessa här nya små menigheterna också ska ha en global vision.
For that particular video we just saw.
Jag är så glad för den videon som nettopp såg.
I didn't know Marcus was going to show that particular one.
Jag visste inte att Marcus ville visa den.
Because it demonstrates the very thing I'm talking about.
För det demonstrerar det jag snackar om nu.
That those believers were there.
Att de troende där.
They already sense a responsibility to go further.
De har allerede sett att det är ett ansvar om att gå vidare.
They don't look at us what we are the end of it.
De ser inte på det att de är ändamålet för det.
No, God has reached them, now they have a responsibility to go further.
Nej Gud, det är not they, nu är det ett ansvar med att gå vidare.
And I believe that's the mindset we need to have.
Och jag tror det är den tankevangen oss må ha.
But let me take it just one more level in terms of partnerships.
Men nu ska vi se på annat nivå I det med samarbete.
It's what I call the ministry co-workers.
Det som här med ett tjänaste eller medarbetare I tjänsten.
It's when a team goes out to do church planting.
Den här team reser ut för att etablera menigheter.
That can be to Africa or to Greenland.
Om det är Afrika eller Grönland.
The thing of working together is biblical.
Det med samarbete, det bibelsk.
We find Paul recognizing that over and over and over again.
Och ser att Paulus säger det flera gånger.
He talks about Timothy being his partner in the ministry.
Och snackar om Timoteus som en medarbetare I tjänsten.
He sent Titus to Crete for ministry.
Och sen Titus till Kreta I tjänsten.
And we know that Luke traveled with him from time to time.
Och så att Lukas reste lång med honom av och till.
And Philippians 4 says that there were some women that worked with him in the gospel.
Och I Filipparna ser så att det var kvinnor som arbetade I lag med för evangeliet.
There was a team effort.
Det var ett teamarbete.
And I'm really grateful for that.
Och det är väldigt glad för.
Because it's there's a weakness in both just one person being involved. We need one another.
För det är svaghet när det är bara en person som står för arbetet.
But I want to say here too that we in missions tend to focus too much on methods of ministry rather than on godly lives or our ministers being or our missionaries being living a pure life.
Jag ser en tendens till att fokusera I missionen på metoderna istället för att fokusera på att missionärerna må leva rena liv.
I believe the greatest need we have in missions is godly men and women.
Det största behovet vi ser I mission det är gudfruktiga män och kvinnor.
Men and women who are willing to give their all for the sake of the gospel.
Män och kvinnor som är villiga till att ge allt för evangeliets skull.
They may not have the greatest talents in the world.
De kanske inte har största talenter I världen.
But they love the Lord Jesus.
Men de älskar han Jesus.
They walk close near the Savior.
Och de vandra när frälsen.
They're committed to a godly life.
De hänger till ett gudomligt, gudfruktigt liv.
They trust God.
Och de stolar på Gud.
And we need those kinds of people on our fields much more than anything else.
Och det är det och stränge överallt annat ute på våra missionsfält.
One of the old writers from Scotland many years ago, McShane.
McShane, en som skrev för många år sedan I Skottland.
He said this.
En författare där han sa följande:
My church's greatest need is my personal holiness.
Han sa det att min församling sitt största behov det är min personliga helighet.
Think of it. Here's a man who was a godly man.
Här ser oss alltså en man som var en gudfruktig man.
It is reflected in his writings.
Och det ser oss I det han skrev.
And yet he says that my church's greatest need is my personal holiness.
Men så säger han det att min församling sitt största behov är min helighet.
To me it shows his relationship with the Lord.
Och till mig så visar det hans förhållande till Gud.
His sensitivity to the Lord Jesus.
Och hans följsamhet för han.
And his desire to be a godly influence in God's hands.
Och att han önskar att vara en gudfryktig påvirkning og redskap I Guds hender.
And I know many of you, or probably most of you, know missionaries that are overseas.
Det mange av dere som kjenner misjonærer som ute.
You know maybe people that are deeply involved in ministry here in Norway.
Og du kjenner kanskje folk som opptatt I tjeneste her I Norge.
Pray for them that they will always live a godly life.
Be for deg at jeg alltid må leve et gudfryktig liv.
We as missionaries should not just be mission focused, but missionary focused.
Som missionärer så ska du bara vara fokuserat på uppgåva, men på missionären.
Some of us that are in leadership in NTM have a tendency to focus on the mission.
Som ledare I NTM så slett för att fokusera på uppgåva.
And we miss it when we don't focus on a missionary too.
Men så går det sklipp av noen av oss ikke fokuserer på misjonæren.
Because God is looking for godly men and women to serve him.
For Gud ser etter gudfryktige menn og kvinner for å tjene han.
And the team that God wants to use are those global believers.
Og teamet som Gud ønsker å bruke, det globale troende.
The churches that are willing to send and support those who go.
Forsamlinger som villige til å sende og støtte de som går ut.
The churches that are being established and then go further.
Og de forsamlingene som blir etablert og som når videre ut.
And then the teams that actually go out from various places.
Og så de teamene som reiser ut fra forskjellige plasser.
But let me come to my last point, which has to do with the motivation.
Men nå skal vi gå til det siste punktet som har med motivasjon.
And here it is.
Og her det.
The idea that if someone loves the Lord, then they are going to become a missionary is wrong.
Den uppfattningen om att dersom någon verkligen älskar Herren vill de bli en missionär är fel.
Some of us in missions have been accused of that.
Och I mission så har vi blivit anklagade för en slik tankegång.
Somehow we communicate that if you're really walking with the Lord, you're going to be a missionary.
Och kommunicera det att hvis du verkligen vandrar med Herren då vill du bli en missionär.
And I don't believe that's biblical nor right.
Jag tror inte det varken är bibelsk eller rätt att säga.
There are two things wrong with that idea.
Det är två ting som är galt med den tankegången.
It puts God's people into two categories, the professionals and the rest.
Det sätter Guds folk I två forskjellige kategorier, de professionelle og resten.
And it puts the missionary on a higher category than the others.
Og det sätter missionären I en högre stilling än andra.
And I don't believe that's true.
Jeg tror ikke det sant.
Think about it.
Tenk over det.
When you think about the word missionary or mission,
når du tenker på ordet missionär eller mission,
so I've asked somebody once, what comes to mind when you think about a missionary or missions?
En gång så spurte jag församlingar, vad tänker du på när du hör ordet mission och missionär?
What words come to mind?
Vad ord är det som dyker upp?
And here were some of them.
Och här var några av de tingen.
Dedication.
Det var hängivenhet.
Commitment.
Ja, hängivenhet.
Okay. A life of faith.
Ett liv I tro.
A life of sacrifice.
Ett självuppoffrande liv.
But you see what that has done? Do you see what that has done?
Ser
it has separated
gjort?
The missionary from the rest.
Det är något som är adskilt missionären från resten av de kristna.
Because I don't believe that that should be just true of missionaries.
Men det för dessa värderingar är inte något som bara ska vara sanna för missionärer.
Then when we put missionaries in this category, that they are the dedicated ones.
När vi ser på missionärer I den kategorin att det är de som är de som är hängivet.
They are the people of faith.
Det är de som vandrar I tro.
They are the people of sacrifice.
Det är de som är villiga till att offra.
What have I said about the rest of the body of Christ?
Vad har jag sagt om resten av Kristi lejme?
I believe all believers should live a dedicated life.
Jeg tror at alle kristne skulle leve et hengitt liv.
I believe that all believers should live a life of faith.
At oss alle skal vandre I tro som kristne.
I believe that all believers should live a life of sacrifice.
At oss alle skal leve der på en måte der vi villige til å offre.
And it's a real danger when we put missionaries in some kind of a special category.
Og det skummelt når vi begynner å sette missionærer I en spesiell kategori.
And here's the danger.
Og her det som faren
der. Thinking of missionaries as an excluded group of missions makes missions a spectator sport.
Når du ser på missionærer som en eksklusiv gruppe, så blir misjonen en tilskuersport.
Where some are doing the work and the rest are watching.
Der det enkelte som utfører arbeid og resten bare ser på.
And I don't believe that's biblical.
Og jeg tror ikke det bibelsk.
Because God wants all of us to be involved.
For Gud ønsker at oss alle skal være involvert.
He has given all of us the privilege to be participators in the work.
Han har gitt oss alle det privilegium å være deltagere I arbeidet.
And I'm just saying that tonight to can I say, challenge our thinking.
Jeg lyst til å bare si det for å utfordre våre tenkemåte.
And to warn us against not start thinking in terms of missions as something unique.
Og at vi ikke må tenke på misjon som noe unikt.
And that missionaries are something really special and something really holy.
Og at misjonærer noe veldig spesielt og veldig hellige folk.
No, don't get me wrong. They need to be holy.
Ikke misforstå meg. De må være hellige.
They need to be willing to sacrifice.
De må være villige til å offre.
They must be willing to trust God.
De må være villige til å stole på Gud.
They need to be dedicated to the task.
Og de må være hengitte til oppgaven.
But that is not their exclusive right.
Men det ikke noe som bare gjelder deg.
It has to do with all of us.
Det handler om oss alle.
God wants all of us to live that kind of a life.
Gud ønsker at oss alle skal leve slik.
And we need to be motivated that way.
Og strenge å bli motivert.
And what should motivate us to do it?
Og hva bør vår motivasjon være?
I believe it should be the great commandment as well as the great commission.
Det både den misjonsbefalingen og det største budet.
The word, the command to go out in all the world.
Oss blitt befalt om å gå ut I hele verden.
And to love the Lord with all of our hearts and all of our strength.
Men vi skal også elske Herren av hele vårt hjerte og hele vår sjel.
But let me finish quickly.
Men nå vil jeg bare kort avslutte.
This partnership within the church calls for trust.
Samarbeid
is built on trust.
I menigheten bygd på tillit.
And trust in one another requires communication.
Og tillit til hverandre, det krever kommunikasjon.
It means that I need to try to understand my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Det betyr at jeg må prøve å forstå mine brødre og søstre I Kristus.
Judy and I travel internationally pretty much non-stop.
Judy og jeg reiser internasjonalt nesten uten stopp.
And when we go to some of these countries, it's very easy to misunderstand our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Og når vi kommer til noen av disse landene, så lett for å misforstå kristne der.
To all of a sudden label them as something because of their actions or attitudes.
Och så sätter märkelappar på det eller sätter det I bås på grund av uppförsel.
And I allow my confidence in them to dwindle because of that.
Och så blir tilliten min svekket til deg på grund av slike ting.
I need to do everything I can to try to understand my brother and sister in Christ.
Jeg gjør alt jeg kan for å forstå brødre og søstre I Kristus.
So I can truly trust them in their ministry.
Slik at jeg kan ha tillit til deg I tjenesten.
But let me say this though, trust involves risk.
Men tillit, det krever også, eller forutsetter også en risiko.
Because people do not always live up to the expectations.
For det ikke alltid folk lever opp til forventningene.
But that is part of the issue of partnership.
Men det en del av det som har med samarbeid å gjøre.
It is something we need the Lord's help with.
Det noe vi trenger hans hjelp med.
And I want to encourage you here as believers in Norway.
Og jeg vil oppmuntre dere her som troende I Norge.
As God is sending out men and women around the world.
Og når Gud sender ut menn og kvinner rundt om I hele verden.
That you find a way to partner with them.
At dere finner måte å samarbeide med dem på.
There are many good organizations.
Det mange gode organisasjoner.
NTM is just one of them.
NTM bare en av dem.
I think it's fairly good.
Og jeg synes den fungerer bra.
At least I've been with it for 45 years.
I hvert fall så jeg vært med der I 45 år.
And Judy and I do that without any regrets.
Og Judy har også gjort det uten noe som angrer på.
We are not perfect.
Og så ikke fullkomne.
We have our struggles.
Og så ting som oss sliter med.
We have our challenges.
Og så utfordringer.
But as you can see from the video, God is using some of his servants around the world.
Men oss ser sånn som på videoen her at Gud bruker sine tjenere rundt om I verden.
And right now we are thrilled to know that there are three families and one single girl that have finished their training and are ready to go to the field.
Og I dag så fridas oss over at her I Norge så det tre familier og ei single jente som klar til å reise ut.
And I want to ask you to pray that God will raise up groups of believers that will stand by these as they go forth.
Utfordre dere til å be om at Gud må reise opp grupper av troende som vil stå bak dem når de reiser ut.
It's a privilege to be partners in the ministry.
Det et privilegium å være samarbeidspartnere I tjenesten.
And we'll conclude with reading one verse from Psalm 133.
Og skal avslutte med å lese et vers fra Salme 133.
I think you know the psalm.
Jeg tror du kjenner til denne salmen.
It starts off by talking about how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to live together in unity.
Han snakker om hvor godt det for troende å leve sammen I fellesskap.
It has to do with our relationship with one another.
Det med det forholdet som man ser til hverandre.
And he says it is wonderful when that happens.
Og han beskriver hvor vidunderlig det når det skjer.
But I want to have you read the last verse.
Lyst til å lese det siste verset. Det som Hermondygg som flyter ned på Sionsberg, for der Herren satt velsignelsen, liv til evig tid.
I just want you to notice the last half of that verse.
Jeg vil bare at du skal legge merke til andre halvdel av det verset.
He says, there.
Han sier, der.
Where is there?
Hvor der?
It's where there's a oneness and a unity within the body of Christ.
Det der oss finner enhet I Kristi legeme.
Where we are working together.
Der oss arbeider I lag.
And God says, there I will send a blessing.
Och han sa det att där dit vill jag sända en välsignelse.
And notice what the blessing it is.
Och lägg blessing is. Lägg märke till vad välsignelsen är.
It has to do with life, eternal life.
Det här med evig liv att göra.
And that's what the blessing is all about.
Och det är det välsignelsen handlar om.
And when you heard the testimonies earlier of those men,
när du hörde vittnesbörden tidigare,
with their pen through their nose,
med penna I näsan,
radiating the love of Christ,
och de utstrålade Kristi kärlek,
you saw life, eternal life, on demonstration.
Då såg du evigt liv demonstrerat för dig.
Because there were groups of believers that worked together.
För det var grupper av troende som samarbetade.
Who sent those missionaries, I think it's from America and the Europe or somewhere, to that tribe.
Sent de missionärer, jag tror det från Europa och från USA.
And there was a team that worked together in this tribe.
Och så var det team som samarbetade I denna stammen.
And God blessed that oneness by bringing life there.
Och Gud välsignar den enheten med att bringa liv in.
And that's what missions is all about.
Och det mission handlar om.
And I will suggest to you two things in closing.
Och till slut vill jag nämna två ting.
If we're going to finish the task,
Kristus ska fullföra uppdraget.
It's going to call for us to have an intimate relationship with the Savior.
Så påkräver det att se ett nära förhållande med frälsaren.
And it calls for us to have an important partnership with the Church of Jesus Christ.
Och att oss må ha ett viktigt samarbete med Kristi menighet.
Thank you so much for listening. I'm glad you're all still awake.
Tack för att du lyssnar. Jag är glad att alla är vaknande.
As most of you at least.
De flesta I vart fall.
But thank you and God bless.
Tack och Guds välsignelse.